Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Postable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 61 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff, sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not real life brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, I saved you again from trying to attempt to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge because of the whole Goldberg thing.
Yes. Yes, I'm still not over it. I'm still in deep mourning. I can't believe they actually went through with what they did. I'm still very sad.
How do you think I feel? I have to sit through that 2-minute match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor you. That's actually torture. And, you know, here's the thing is when we went to WrestleMania 31, that main event of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns was shaping up to be possibly the worst main event in WrestleMania history. It ended up being one of my favorite WrestleMania matches ever because of the match itself, because literally they beat the crap out of each other for like 10 minutes. It told a great story. And it ended with neither man winning the match. Seth Rollins came in, cashed in his money in the bank. You and I were jumping around like 9-year-olds, hugging each other, being crazy. And just, I'm willing to go back, remember that moment, and then hope that somehow Goldberg and Brock Lesnar can warrant being in the main event as two part-timers with that title going to a part-timer either way. And so it's going to be defended on a part-time basis and shown on TV on a part-time basis. I'm hoping somehow that WrestleMania match is good enough for me to get that excited again. I doubt it, but we'll see.
Well, there's nobody to cash in the money in the bank this year, so it's going to be interesting.
Right. Well, you know, Eric Bischoff can hand titles to people at random, i.e. the heavyweight title being handed to Triple H. So who knows? Backstage during WrestleMania, New Day might hand a money in the bank briefcase to like Braun Strowman or something. And we might have a magical, like, money in the bank cash in. He'll come riding down on a unicorn or something, cash in, win the title, and there will be much rejoicing in the Toon household.
Everyone, the best way to support this show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Grab one of those Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirts. That's the best way to support the show. Scott, those shirts are pretty sweet. I made another order. I got a tank top. I gave in.
Yeah, dude, those shirts rule. They're not pretty sweet. They rule.
Dude, they're so cool. Edge and Sam Roberts decided to even copy it.
Yeah, the only thing we didn't put on ours was our gimmick action.
Oh, yeah, we should have done
that. Yeah, like Jess Jammer and Scott Slammer or something like that. Like, we forgot to put an action on the shirt, and that's where our shirts differ from Sam's and Edge's. But I think ours are better and original.
I agree. It is the original. This came out about a week or two before theirs.
Yeah, and Sam still won't listen to the show. I have quite a gripe about that. He likes wrestling figures, dude. Come on. Give us a listen. And I know we had some of our listeners try to goad him into listening as well, and he still hasn't done it.
Yeah, he's not breaking character.
That's not cool, Sam Roberts. I'm watching you.
So head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Pick up one of those Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirts. You can also follow us on Twitter, YouTube, and Snapchat at Fully Posable. Instagram, Fully Posable WF. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. You can email us any questions, comments, wishlists, fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. And Scott, I am about a week or two away from tapping out on the wrestler name game that I do at the beginning of every show.
I'm okay with that.
You are?
I'm okay with retired segments. It shows that we've been around for a while. And that particular gimmick is out of material, and we move on to create something else. You could move on to like wrestling moves.
Well, I tried that before and I got ridiculed by you. I tried wrist lock and you about jumped over the table and beat the living bejesus out of me.
Right, which you're lucky that I didn't do that. But you know, you can't change the gimmick on the fly. You need to agree ahead of time that we're going to change the gimmick, and B, this is what the new gimmick is going to be. You didn't do that, and you should have gotten beaten for it, but you didn't.
All right, that's fair enough. So again, Scott, that's Fully Posable. W as in Wes Briscoe.
Okay, as crappy as he was, I will accept the W this week.
Aw, I didn't mind that guy.
Really?
Yeah, he was okay in TNA. He was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
F as in the new Ring of Honor champion, Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels.
Excellent. Way to bring in current events. I like it.
And P as in PN News.
Okay. Very good.
I thought you were going to crap on PN
News. Oh, hell.
Well, not crap on him, but like literally crap on me saying PN News.
Well, no. Number one, I don't know if PN News is into dudes crapping on him. I don't judge. But number two, he was almost a Galoop figure. So no, much respect to that. Nice job. Good job this week.
Thank you very much. As I said, it's about got another week or two, and then I'm ready to ride off into the sunset. Well, that segment's going to ride off to the sunset. The show's going to continue.
Yeah, the show will continue. We'll just have to find something else to do with the W, F, and P.
Scott, did you do any... Oh, at gmail.com. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this week?
Yes. I went to Walmart. They had zombies. They had three Hasbros, which were two Roman Reigns and a Brock Lesnar. And they had your normal crappy assortment of basics that Walmart always has, along with some really old elites that nobody wants and they have yet to put on clearance. I've seen several people post pictures of their Walmarts getting in the big shipping containers, the big red cardboard box where they stuff it full of elites and basics and battle packs. And we haven't seen that at our Walmart yet. So that was a huge strikeout for me. But I did want to point out that a couple weeks back when we talked about toy spotting, we went over my birthday gifts and I forgot to throw in what my mother-in-law got me, which was one of the coolest gifts. She got me the Macho Man Turtle figure.
Oh, whoa. Are you serious?
I don't know why I blanked on that. I was talking to Shan the other night, and she goes, you know, I listened to the podcast, and you forgot to say that you got the Macho Man Turtle figure. And I was like, oh, my God. That was like one of my favorite gifts, and I completely blanked on giving props to my mother-in-law, who actually did go to Walmart, found it on the shelf, and picked it up for me. Like, I was shocked.
Can I interject here? Did she go to San Leandro Walmart?
No, she was at Tracy.
Oh, okay, because we went to San Leandro Walmart, and they had three turtles. They had Sting, Taker, and John Cena. The only one they didn't have was Macho Man.
Oh, that's funny. No, she did get it here at the Tracy Walmart, and she actually looked at the Undertaker, Sting, and John Cena, and almost got me the Sting. But then she sees me wear my Macho Man shirt all the time, because I'm a huge mark, and I look good in purple. And she remembered that and picked up the Macho Man turtle figure. And that was my birthday gift from her, and it was awesome, and I completely blanked on giving her props, dude. So, hey, you know, I've heard a lot of mother-in-law jokes. For example, here's one. What's the difference between a mother-in-law and a bucket of crap?
What?
The bucket.
Oh.
But that joke does not apply to my mother-in-law because she's awesome, because she got me a Turtles Macho Man figure. And so I had to give my mother-in-law props for that. Also, I was talking to a coworker today whom I turned onto the podcast probably about a week or two ago.
Oh, nice.
And went over and saw him today. I had to work on a computer across the street. And he goes, dude, he goes, I meant to tell you, I listened to yours and your brother's podcast. He goes, it was awesome. He goes, I only listened to one episode. He goes, but what it made me want to do was A, start collecting figures again. And B, I wanted to go back and grab some of my old wrestling toys and just check them out. He goes, you guys inspired me to like want to collect and look at my old figures again. And I was like, dude, mission accomplished. If this show can do anything, I would hope that it's that. So much like we did to Bane, it's spreading. So more people are listening and getting into their figures again or getting into the newer figures. And I love it, dude. If there's one thing we can accomplish, I hope that it's that.
Which coworker was it?
Anthony, Rob's son across the street.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So he's checking out the show. He's digging it. He's looking at getting back into wrestling figures. He's always been a wrestling fan. Like, I've talked to him about wrestling several times in the past. Didn't know he was into the toys, but he might be again.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. That's cool. Yeah.
Just wanted to share that with you. So that's my toy spotting kind of segue for the week.
That's cool. We did do toy spotting. We went to several Walmarts just to find nothing. I think we found one Brock Lesnar. If I'm not mistaken, it was one Brock Lesnar and one John Cena.
The Hasbro?
The Hasbro. That's actually the first time in a long time that I even spotted them on the shelves.
Yep.
I did find that new White Card series, Basic. It's Stone Cold that comes with that cheesy smoking skull belt.
Oh, like the title series with the four figures. Yeah. It's Stone Cold, Warrior, Sheamus.
Yes. And Pac. Not Pac. Sorry. Neville.
Yes.
I saw the Warrior, and it's not the greatest Warrior. I actually don't like that Warrior. And it goes back to the face paint being on the cheek, and that was one of my least favorite looks of Warrior.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple... It was either the last podcast or the podcast before when they had broken those pictures out. Yeah, if it's not one of your favorite Warriors... I guess it would look good if we were a fan of that makeup gimmick that he was using at the time, but I hated when he didn't do the full face paint. I hated when he like stuck it on his cheek. To me, that was just lazy. So I'm with you. That's a big pass for me.
But we did go to Dublin, and they did have three of the four Hall of Fame series. They had Sting, King Booker, and the Edge figure is better than the picture showed. I always said it looked like Heath Slater. Actually, looking at the figure, it looks a lot better.
So in person, it does it more justice than what the pictures have done it.
Correct. The face is a lot better than what I thought it was going to be. The pictures did not do it justice.
Who didn't you see, Lawler?
That was the only one, man. That one's a hard spot right now.
Did you pick up the other three?
I did.
Nice.
Yeah, I picked up Sting. I was going to get that one anyways. The Booker T, I already have King Booker from the original Elite series. But I was like, you know what? This is actually pretty good. The face on it's good. You know, I just liked it. So I was like, why not? And then Edge, I guess it was because it was better than what I thought it was going to be that it kind of was like, okay, now I can justify getting this.
I definitely want that one. Right now, I've only got, gosh, I don't remember even what series Edge it is in the Elites. It's on the old black packaging. So it's
the
one of his older...
Red?
Yeah, the black and red. It's on one of those older packagings. So I need a new Edge figure, and I really want that Hall of Fame. I just haven't been able to find it yet. I was hoping it would show up at Target during that Cartwheel app with the 60% off, but it was a huge strikeout for me.
So anyways, got those. That was it for my toy spot, and that was pretty much it for me.
Oh, you scored three out of the four Hall of Fames. That's a pretty good week.
Scott, we've got that news. We bring that sweet, sweet news to you all every week.
That sweet, sweet news? That sweet, sweet PN news?
I like what you did there. Let's hit up the news.
You didn't know?
Scott, this week Mattel showed images of Basic 71. That's the set with Taker, Cena, Hideo, Seth Rollins, Austin Aries, Finn, Corbin. And I will announce the next figure real quick. But I did want to say that the Austin Aries face, I don't know if you caught a glimpse of it.
I did.
It looks too wide.
Yeah, I think maybe Austin's first figure. And again, this could go back to what you said about the Edge figure. It doing it more justice when you held the figure in your hand in person as opposed to seeing a photo. That might happen with Austin Aries. But right now I'm calling the first Austin Aries a slight miss by Mattel. Again, I want to see it up in person. I want to see if it's changed at all. But you're right. There's just something that's a little bit off about the face. I'm not a huge fan of it just based on the photos.
And then the last figure in that set is Charlotte, and she does have a new face scan.
Yes, she does. So in keeping with Mattel's fine tradition of listening to the Fully Posable podcast, they heard my complaints and my gripes about a lack of Charlottes. And boom, she hits Series 71.
The face scan is better. It's like the Becky Lynch. It's still not 100% in my eyes, but it's a lot better.
Oh, it's definitely getting better. And I've got to say, the inclusion of the glitter above her left eye is so good. And the fact that they put that on a basic, huge fan, definitely purchasing that figure.
Charlotte comes in that blue outfit, like a aqua blue outfit that she wears. As Scott said, she does have the glitter above the left eye. I like that touch. I'm not buying... And then I'm going to announce this next figure, and I'm going to be close to breaking my rule of not buying basics. But I may get that Charlotte. I like how they fixed the face scan.
Yeah, it's definitely getting better. Like you said, the same thing with Becky. You know, each figure that comes out is a little bit better than the one before it. Definitely that is the case with this Charlotte. They're getting better on the face. The inclusion of the glitter above the left eye makes it a definite purchase for me.
Then for Basic 72, the only figure that was shown was the new Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder is in his WrestleMania 32 outfit, where it's kind of that white with kind of gray purple writing. Again, I may have to break my rule on basics. I'm doing really good not buying basics. I saw the Sting basic the other night, and I do like the face on that one, but I was like, nope, no more basics, saving for Mattel Hasbros. But then I saw this Zack Ryder, and I'm like, man, that's a good Zack Ryder basic.
Yeah, if anything, that's one that you purchase, you open it, and you slap an Intercontinental title on it, because that is a really, really good Zack Ryder figure.
Scott, FTC news, what you got?
Yes, this week they showed the outfit for, correct me on this, dude, is it Taya or Taya?
Taya, you got to catch up on your Lucha Underground, dude.
I'm telling you, I know that it just hit Netflix, what, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, they put it out there on Pi Day. I have yet to catch an episode of it. I need to get involved. I haven't gotten down with the Underground yet, but it's coming. I will be checking out Lucha Underground very soon. FTC did show Taya's outfit this week. You're the pro on Lucha Underground, not me. It looks great. And again, Rising Stars is out. Make sure you go out, buy those Young Bucks figures, either single or the two-pack. I don't even know if they're sold out yet.
I haven't heard on stock-wise. I know people are receiving their figures. I saw one guy tweet out that he received his Bucks.
Yeah, they're very cool. In fact, I saw somebody on Twitter earlier put a picture up of the Young Bucks kicking AJ out of the club, or the Bullet Club, doing the double super kick. So people already have their Bucks in hand. I'm super jealous. I can't wait to get mine. And yeah, if you're even on the fence, man, just go check out the pictures. Go buy those figures. They are awesome.
I might have a surprise for you when we draft on fantasy baseball this Saturday.
Sweet.
I'm hoping that they get here either tomorrow or Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully, man. I can't wait to see those figures. My goal really is to get them signed. I want to have those Young Bucks signed and hanging up on the wall.
I know, me too. I cannot wait to have those.
Are they signing at WrestleMania at all?
Before the ROH show on Saturday night.
And you're not going to that, right?
Nope, I have NXT tickets.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, got to do NXT, absolutely, for sure. It's too bad they're not going to be at WrestleCon, man.
I know. I'm really hoping to see somebody walking around Orlando with a Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. I'm going to mark out for that person, dude.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Definitely get a picture with them. Put it up on our Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You could even Snapchat, which people can follow us. Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yep, at Fully Posable. Scott, we have a nostalgia segment this week. Jack's Classic Series 22. What do you think?
Let's talk about it.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees.
Scott, Jack's Classic Series 22, what you got?
Yes, Jack's Classic Series 22 consisted of Mr. McMahon, Stone Cold, Earthquake, Bob Sparkplug Holly, Matt Hardy, Andy Kaufman, who was packaged in a blue robe, Chainsaw Charlie, and Eddie Guerrero in LJN form. And just as some side notes here, Stone Cold, Earthquake, Sparkplug Holly, all were packaged with a tag title, or with a title, and Matt Hardy was packaged with a table. And Chainsaw Charlie was packaged with a chainsaw and a plastic bag over his head, which, kids, don't try that at home.
What did you think of that Chainsaw Charlie? I put down in our notes a plastic bag, but I don't know. I just did not like the way that that figure looked in the package.
Yeah, for me, it was a pass. I mean, Terry Funk, absolutely. I would purchase a Terry Funk figure. I did, and I've got one signed. But Chainsaw Charlie didn't do anything for me. So all of his figures, to be honest, I never really put much stock in them. I never really checked them out too much, and all of them were passes for me. So this one to me was just another Chainsaw Charlie that I was going to pass on. I didn't really care for it.
The Andy Kaufman was cool. The Matt Hardy, I really liked. He had this dark blue black shirt on. And it was really, really good. I never picked it up. And looking back at it, when I was doing the research on these, just to kind of refresh the memory, I don't know why I didn't purchase that.
Well, at the time, I think you had approximately 73 or 74 Matt Hardy figures in your collection.
I think it was around there.
Yeah, so you might have passed on it for that reason. You didn't need to spend $15 on another Matt Hardy figure. That would have put you at about 75.
That's true. Stone Cold was in his traditional black outfit. Mr. McMahon had the black top singlet, like you mentioned before, that he was in his WrestleMania 22.
Yes, WrestleMania 22, which we were at, by the way, that he fought Shawn Michaels in. And he also wrestled God in that outfit.
That is a fact. He did wrestle God.
Yeah, it was Shawn Michaels' tag team partner.
Earthquake was one of those bigger figures that I passed on. For some reason, Jax had trouble nailing those bigger figures. Typhoon was the same way. These figures, the bigger guys, just didn't look right. They looked way, way too rotund.
Yeah, I was going to get to that on the Earthquake. That was definitely a pass for me for that reason. Earthquake was huge. We know this. But Earthquake wasn't that huge. Dude, that was like Jabba the Hutt territory with that figure. They did it with him, like you mentioned, Typhoon, One Man Gang. They did it with Bastion Booger. They were just too fat. They did not look like that. The body type was not good. It's more along the lines of what FTC did with Blue Meanie as opposed to what Jax did with Earthquake. Like, that body type was just off.
And maybe it was because of the... And I know we always praise the cloth clothing, but maybe the cloth clothing looked way too baggy on the body. We never took him out of package, so it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, I'm sure that the cloth added a little bit more bulk to the figure, but it just... If that was the case, man, I would have taken just like painted on clothing if they really had to. It just, the body type was just off. And then seeing the figure on the pegs, I was like, dude, that I guess is Earthquake from the neck up, but down below is like not even close. It's like the Blob from the X-Men, man. It's just not close.
Eddie Guerrero looked cool. I like that figure.
Yeah, the Eddie Guerrero was awesome. And I do want to say the Spark Plug Holly, I do actually own that figure and it is signed up on my wall.
That's right. You got that figure just for WrestleCon.
No, it was WrestleFest. It was one of the big time wrestling ones that was out here. And it was the same show that Jake said Poison.
That's right.
And the same show that the Young Bucks were at, where because you were wearing an ROH hat, they took multiple pictures with you for free.
Yeah, that is a fact.
Yeah, Nick Jackson said, oh, ROH fan, you get like 2 or 3 pictures. And I've got the pictures to prove it. He let me snap them.
Favorite figure out of the set?
I'm going to go with the Eddie Guerrero LJN. I really, really like that Eddie Guerrero.
I have to agree with you. Least favorite figure?
Man, you know, I really want to say Chainsaw Charlie, but... based on how badly they missed on the body type, I'm going to have to go Earthquake. I mean, the face scan is fine. Just they missed so bad on the body, and it's almost insulting to Earthquake how fat they made him.
I'm going
to
agree with you that Earthquake was bad, but I would have to go Chainsaw Charlie. I just did not like the figure. I didn't like the mesh cloth that came over his head. I know he was doing that in WWE, but it just didn't look right in packaging.
Yeah, I agree with you. Both those figures are a huge miss for me, but I'm going to lead a little more towards Earthquake because that's, like I said, it's almost insulting. Like, yeah, the dude was overweight, but come on, man.
That goes back to Jax missing on the bigger guys.
Yeah, I'm just surprised they didn't package Earthquake with a cookie sheet like they did with Typhoon.
Comes with the Cookie Monster.
Yeah, jeez, that was just wrong.
Scott, we are narrowing the brackets down to the Elite Eight, but before we do that... we need to announce the winners in the next segment.
Yes, all voted on by our listeners.
Yep. So, Scott, what do you say we get into our March Madness?
Let's crush those brackets.
1, 2, you hear the clock ticking. Tick, tock. You about to stop living. Tick, tock. I want you to remember me. Tick, tock. But the day don't have no memory.
I'm coming!
Scott... our Sweet 16 is now going to be narrowed down to the Elite Eight. You do not know the outcomes of this.
No, I have purposely not been paying attention. And I just have this sinking feeling that this is the beginning of the audience's heel turn against me in picking figures that I would have voted for. Because you and I don't get to vote anymore. We're out.
Well, actually, I was thinking about it. We can vote. We can put in votes. We cannot turn in a bracket because we determined the first two rounds.
Yes, that was all us.
Yeah, we're out of even getting a shot at a pin. We have to pay the $10 of whatever pin wins.
Which we will gladly do.
Which we will be more than happy to support Pollyanna. By the way, go and check out Pollyanna at Pollyanna DIY. They just put up the Bret Hart for $8. The Bret Hart Hasbro pin for $8. Dollars. That's a steal, dude.
And not only that, but they announced their pin that's going to be after Brett.
Oh, yes.
Yes, they did. And it is the Ultimate Warrior in white Hasbro, which is an amazing figure. And Pollyanna, which is at Pollyanna DIY, that's Pollyanna DIY. Get a look at that Warrior figure. They've got an Instagram as well. Check out the Warrior. Check out the Brett. Like Jeff said, that Brett's only $8, and that is a steal. He's still got his Hogan, still got his Andre, still has the Macho Man. And for me personally, this is like going back and collecting the Hasbro figures again with all of the cool Hasbro pins that he's releasing. I don't know if he's going to continue with this. I personally hope that he does because I would love to have the entire Hasbro set. I'm excited to see what comes after Warrior. Super excited. I can't wait till LOD. I'm hoping, keeping my fingers crossed that he's making LOD too.
LOD, Rockers, Demolition, keep them coming, man. The more you keep putting these things out, we're going to keep buying them.
Absolutely. Shoot, you could do customs. Do like the Brain Busters that never came to be, the Powers of Pain. We'll buy those too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Scott... not only are we going to announce this round and we will announce the matchups for next round, we actually get to put in a vote. I was thinking about it. We can't turn in a bracket, but we can put in a vote because now the vote is not only you and I, but it's also the rest of the Fig Life community.
Okay, so we can put in one vote, but we didn't do that on this round.
No, because I thought, you know what, we could take ourselves out of it. But then I started thinking, I was like, wait, why do we have to take ourselves out of it? Now it's everyone gets to put in a vote.
Okay, so we're just another voice in the crowd then on the next round.
Exactly. There's a gajillion people that can put in votes. We're just one of those people that can put in a vote.
Sweet. I'm in.
So let's start off in the Sweet 16 bracket. It was number one seed Macho Man defining moment taking on the number 12 seed Sting Galoob. Scott, who are you rooting for in this one?
That one's really tough. That's one of my favorite Mattel figures versus one of my favorite figures from the 90s. That one's really a toss-up, but I've got to go Macho Man defining moment on that one.
You would be correct. Macho Man defining moment is moving on to the Elite Eight. Macho Man defining moment defeated Sting Galoob 33 votes to 15 votes.
Okay, so that's a number one over the number 12. I would say that number 12 Sting Galoob had a pretty good run through the tournament.
It did. It did. It got through the first two rounds, but unfortunately jobbed out in the Sweet 16.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Good run. And that Macho Man defining moment absolutely deserves to win.
In the second matchup of the Parts Unknown bracket, it was the number two seed Bret Hart Silver Shades taking on the Ultimate Warrior LJN.
Ooh.
Scott, my favorite figure of all time, is moving on to the Elite Eight.
Knocked out Warrior LJN.
The number two seed Bret Hart defeated Ultimate Warrior LJN 26 votes to 11 votes.
Ooh, it's a blowout.
Yep, exactly. In the Elite Eight, in the Parts Unknown bracket, it'll be Macho Man defining moment taking on Bret Hart Silver Shades.
Nice.
Gee. Wonder who Jeff's voting for.
I wonder.
Scott, we're going down to the Calgary bracket. We had the number one seed WrestleMania 7 Ultimate Warrior defining moment.
Yes.
Taking on your favorite HBK figure, the number four seed ringside exclusive HBK.
As much as I love that Shawn Michaels figure, I've got to think that the Ultimate Warrior defining moment won this one. That is the most beautiful defining moments figure they've ever released.
I'm going to disagree with you on that.
On the defining moment?
Yes. So when I went out to go to my bins to take everything out and snap pictures of them and piece them all together for the matchups.
Right.
I was actually looking at that warrior face. And you know what? I think they missed on the face. However, they nailed the jacket, the knee pads, and the trunks.
I agree with you.
That is why that figure is so great. The face, I think they've done a gazillion better warrior face scans.
Yes.
But it's the jacket, it's the outfit, the knee pads, everything else that makes that figure.
Yeah, that's why I was saying that's the most beautiful defining moment figure is based on the outfit and how true it is to what he wore at WrestleMania 7. I will agree with you that there have been better face sculpts slash scans on Ultimate Warrior. At least 7 or 8 I could name off the top of my head. But overall, that figure is beautiful, and I would think that it is going to beat Shawn Michaels.
And Warrior defining moment did defeat Shawn Michaels. 23 votes to 14 votes.
Ooh, that one's a little bit closer than I thought it was going to be.
Yes. So Warrior defining moment will take on the winner of the number two seed Razor defining moment. And the number three seed, Hulk Hogan LJN.
Oh, you have new versus old. I'm really, on this one, I don't know. This is a tough one to call.
This was the second closest matchup that we had.
The second closest.
And number two seed, Razor defining moment, defeated Hogan LJN. 22 votes to 16 votes. Razor defining moment moves on.
That's actually surprising. I thought it would be a lot closer than that, and I actually would have guessed Hogan winning in that one.
I thought Hogan was going to win that one. You know what's funny is I actually thought about tweeting Hogan and saying, hey, man, let's put over your LJN, dude. But
let's put yourself over, brother.
I didn't do that with Brett. I didn't do that with anybody else, so I just kind of left it as is. But Hogan LJN did lose. He lost in the Sweet 16. Razor defining moment will take on Warrior defining moment in the Calgary bracket.
That's surprising. So the most iconic wrestling figure of all time was bumped That's crazy.
Yes.
So, okay, so we have two defining moments in the final in that one.
Yes.
Okay.
You go up to the Mid-South bracket, and you had the number one seed Seth TRU exclusive taking on the number four seed AJ Styles FTC figure.
This has to be the toughest one to call.
No.
Oh, really?
AJ, I'm going to say this. AJ got out to a hot start. He was actually up 7-2 when I put up the votes.
Oh, wow. And then, okay.
All of a sudden, Seth Toys R Us exclusive took off and defeated AJ 31-15.
Oh, man. Blowout.
Yes. I was actually like, whoa, because it was 7-2 at one point. And I'm like, holy crap, you know?
Wow.
It was like AJ got off to a first inning hot start and then his bullpen blew it or something. I don't know, man.
Did AJ put in 7 votes for himself in that one?
No, AJ did not put in 7 votes for himself.
Man, that one's crazy. I thought that one was going to be the toughest one to call, but wow, okay. Seth TRU moving on. Well-deserved, though. That's yep. A great figure.
So also in the Mid-South bracket, we had the number 2 seed Hulk Hogan defining moment taking on the Christian TNA figure. You want to take a guess on this one?
It damn well better be the Hogan defining moment going over because, well, that's my favorite Hulk Hogan figure ever. It's also my favorite Mattel figure.
And you are correct. Hulk Hogan defining moment defeated Christian 29-18.
Even if it was Hogan going against the Dusty Rhodes, I would still want Hogan win. I'm still torn over that vote we had to make last week with the Christian and the Dusty Rhodes. I still think I made the right call in voting Christian in. But I would have voted Hogan over either one of them, so totally cool with that outcome. So far, the audience has not swerved heel on me. If Hogan had lost that matchup, I would have had to raise a little hell. And some people would have made the list.
Then you go down to the Northeast bracket, where you had the number one seed Macho Man Hasbro taking on the number four seed of the Sting defining moment.
Oh.
Before you say anything, I'm saying this right now. This is the closest matchup that we had.
You know what? I'm actually going to call an upset on this one and guess that Sting won.
You would be wrong. Macho Man Hasbro defeated Sting 23-20.
Oh, man. That's yes. Crazy. Looking at that one and knowing kind of our listeners, I would have thought that the Sting defining moments would have beat out Macho with that sort of vote, though, where it would have been within like 3-5 votes. Possibly even 2 with Sting taking it. That Macho Hasbro win, wow, that's a shocker for me. That is a shocker. I'm happy he won. I hope that he doesn't win the whole thing because Pollyanna has already made a Macho Man Hasbro pin. But I'm shocked, but I'm excited that that Hasbro Macho won.
So Macho Man will be moving on to the Elite Eight. So who's he taking on, Scott?
I can't even guess on this one.
So it's the number 2 seed, Finn Elite 41 taking on the number 6 seed Warrior Hasbro in purple trunks. Finn Elite destroyed my favorite Ultimate Warrior 33-14.
Wow. Now see, that's the reason I couldn't call it is because Macho over Sting was a huge shock. But that Finn is damn near perfect. So, well warranted, man. Finn moving on to face the Macho Hasbro.
Yep, so we're in the Elite 8. And you know what? You and I get to throw in one vote. We are not determining who's moving on. We are just throwing in one vote.
Okay, so let's run down who we've got in each side.
So in the parts unknown bracket, it will be, it's funny too, because in every bracket, it's number one seed versus number two seed. So the number one seeds were determined because of listeners' top fives.
Yep.
Sean, special guest Sean, went in and seeded each one of the number twos.
That sounded dirty.
And it did. It sounded so gross. So so each bracket, the parts unknown, the Calgary, the Mid-South, and the Northeast, all have 1 versus 2.
Oh, man. That's kind of disappointing. I was hoping for a dark horse like that Sting Galoob at number 12, like going all the way. But, oh, well. At least it showed yep. we picked pretty good figures.
So in the parts unknown bracket, we have number one Macho Man defining moment taking on Bret Hart Hasbro Silver Shades.
Okay, that's a great matchup right there.
Do you want to throw in your vote now, or you want to go through the brackets?
Dude, there's no way I'm calling this one on the fly. I've got to think about it.
Okay, well, everybody knows who I'm going for. So my one vote, and the listeners get to vote as well when this goes up I believe I'm going to put this up either Sunday night or Monday. I'll send out the tweet to let everyone know that voting is up. I'm voting Bret Hart. That's my one vote.
All right. Well, I'm going to swerve heel on you right now. Put my vote down for Macho Man.
Okay. In the Calgary bracket, we have Warrior Defining Moment WrestleMania 7 versus Razor Defining Moment.
My vote's for Warrior.
Your vote's for Warrior?
Yeah, I'm going Warrior on that one.
This one's tough for me because that Razor is damn near perfect.
Yeah, it is.
And Warrior was placed into that old Defining Moment card where it was just a gold box and there was nothing behind him, where Razor in his Defining Moment had the gold chains, the purple backing.
Yep.
He's holding up the IC title. Oh, Warrior's outfit though. Oh, it's a bad face. Or I shouldn't say it's a bad face.
It's not bad. There's been better. It's okay.
Yeah. I will also vote Warrior. So two votes for Warrior.
Yep. So far, Warrior's up 2-0.
So we're in the Mid-South. Razor's already down 2-0 before the listeners even get a chance.
Yeah. Come on, Razor fans. You better step up.
So we head over to the Mid-South bracket where number one seed Seth TRU exclusive is taking on the Hogan Defining Moment.
Dude, you don't even need to ask me.
You're going Hogan Defining Moment?
All the way, dude. All the way.
I will agree with you.
I want a Hogan Defining Moment pin.
Okay.
Either him or Ultimate Warrior Defining Moment pin. Either one of those, I'm a happy camper.
Oh, that's going to be a tough... Oh, that would be tough for Pollyanna to do that outfit.
It would be tough. I know there's going to be a lot of people clamoring for that bracket you're about to discuss, though, for a certain painted up guy.
In the Northeast bracket, we've got number one seed Macho Hasbro taking on the number two Finn Elite 41. If you had to choose out of these two figures, you had to take one to a deserted island, and out of these two figures, who would you take?
See, here's my dilemma. Pollyanna, as stated earlier, has already made a Macho Man Hasbro pin. This figure that we're discussing right now, they've already made a pin of. I would love to have a Finn Balor pin in my collection, but I like the Macho Man Hasbro figure better than I do the Elite Finn.
Yep.
How do I vote?
Well, you've got to take away the prize. You kind of have to go with in your head. If you're holding two figures and let's say the benefactor said you can only buy one and it's 13-year-old Scott and you're holding an Elite Finn or a Macho Hasbro.
I'm going to withhold my vote on that one right now. I can't choose because I really want a Finn Balor pin.
Well, when the voting goes up, you can vote. Look, the Macho Hasbro is just awesome. It's my third favorite Hasbro.
Yes.
Nothing against the Finn Elite at all. It's a good figure. It's a great figure. But when I vote, there's that part of nostalgia that sets in with me.
Yep. And it's your vote. You vote however you want, whatever you're feeling.
I've got to vote Macho.
Okay.
I have to. Just the memories of that Macho figure, I have to vote Macho. So one vote for Macho.
And also, when you had me go through and pull out the Ultimate Warrior, the purple trunks Ultimate Warrior Hasbro,
uh-huh.
I actually went through all of our Hasbros. And I pulled that Macho out to take a picture of it for you. Here we are, what is it, 25 years later?
Mm-hmm.
You came out in 90... No, that figure was 90, so here we are 27 years later, and that figure is still as perfect today as it was back in 1990. It just captures Macho Man so well. Go ahead and put my vote down for Macho Man Hasbro. As much as I want a Finn Balor pin and not a repeat of the Macho Man Hasbro, I've got to say Macho Man Hasbro on that one. After looking at it again the other night, your speech right there swayed my vote. Nice job.
I have it at thank you. I have it at work. And I look at it every time and I'm like, man, they just nailed that figure.
Yeah, they really did.
From top to bottom, it's orange trunks, it's the glasses, it's the headband. The only thing that was missing was that his wrist tape was flesh colored. It wasn't white. It was flesh colored, which is weird, but it's Macho.
Dude, they also captured that weird smile / grunt growl face he would make. They even captured that. Like, how good is that to be able to capture an expression that he made all of the time in a figure? Like, come on, man. That figure's amazing.
Yep. So that is just one vote in the Fig Life community. Everyone else gets to vote. I'm going to be putting this up. It'll either be late tonight, Sunday, or early tomorrow, Monday. And then voting polls will close on Wednesday night. So that way we can calculate everything. There you go, Scott. The Elite Eight is on its way.
Sweet. That sounds good, man. Should you go over how we're scoring for those that turned in brackets?
Yes. So thank you to Scott. I now know how to score brackets.
It's the old school scoring that when I used to play the March Madness tournament at my old company many, many, many years ago. This is how they scored it there. And it really rewarded you for having those deep picks like the Final Four and the championship. There's a lot of points going towards those two rounds, not so much before it, but this is kind of how we scored it back then.
Yes. So what we did is for the Sweet 16, it equaled 5 points.
Yeah. 5 points per pick.
Per correct pick. Elite Eight is 10 points. The Final Four is 25 points and the championship is 50 points. So thanks to Scott, I now know how to score this.
Yes. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thanks.
So there you go. On to the Elite Eight we go. Here we go, rolling.
Nice. Keep bringing those votes in too, man. This is making it real interesting.
That Macho Hasbro and Sting defining moment, I couldn't believe it, man. It was funny too because the editor was marking down the votes on Instagram. And Macho Hasbro broke out to a huge lead. The editor gets home from work, sets down the piece of paper that she had down. And Sting had, I want to say, 4 or 5 votes. And I'm like, whoa. I was like, holy crap. And Macho only had 1.
Oh,
so
wow.
So it was like on IG on that day, it was only 5 votes that Sting had.
Okay.
Or excuse me, it was five votes that Sting had and Macho had 1. And I was like, whoa, 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 what?
Yeah, that was a tough one to call, man. The right figure won though, I think.
Correct. Scott, we are going to do Who Did It Better this week. So I think it's Bobby Roode's music we do. I think it's Bobby
Roode's. That sounds right.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Let's hit that up. Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend. Scott, before we get into Who Did It Better, surprise the listeners and keep them guessing. We actually got a couple emails. This one comes from Charlie Nickel. He said, hey guys, just wanted to put the show over and weigh in on something discussed on this week's show. First off, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I listen to about a dozen wrestling-related podcasts off and on, but the WFP is one of 2 shows I never miss. That's cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah. He said the other one he can't miss is Art of Wrestling. I can't blame him there.
No. We love Colt too.
Yes. He said, full disclosure, I haven't been on board from the start. Matter of fact, I've only been listening somewhere in the late 30s. I have some catching up to do, I suppose. Long story short, please keep up doing what you guys do.
We will.
We will. As for the show this past week, you guys were talking about figures that had a feature or aspect that spoiled the figure. For me, I would have to throw Elite 16 Diesel into this conversation. He had me hook, line, and sinker right here because I always thought that Diesel was pretty good.
Right.
So I was actually really curious about this. I continued reading. I'm a big fan of Kevin Nash from as far back as his introduction to the WWF. There are a few glaring aspects of this figure that ruin it for me. The Diesel logo on his singlet is way too small. With the entrance vest off, it's even more glaring. It's like the front is too small. Secondly, the color of the singlet just doesn't come off very well. I know the look that they were going for. It is his attire he wore on many occasions, most notably in his WWF title defense against Bret Hart at the 95 Survivor Series. It should look silver, with a bit of sheen or shine to it. I know this would be a tough look to pull off without looking like a gaudy silver, but this figure looks almost dingy white as presented. An Elite I should be over the moon for, of one of my favorite wrestlers, and I can't look at it without feeling they missed the mark. Perhaps I'm in the minority here, as I know this is a highly sought-after figure on the secondary market. What says you guys? I will say it wasn't until his email that I actually looked at the figure, because I've always thought that figure was good. And then I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, I now see what Charlie's seeing.
Yeah, I don't actually own that one, so that's going to be your area expertise. I can only speak to the Jax Classic Superstar Diesel.
I see what he is seeing. I actually still do like the figure. It's definitely not in my top 20 figures of all time. You know, it's nothing like that.
Well, he didn't even make the list of 64, so.
No. As many Mattels as we threw in there, too.
Yeah, true.
I now see what Charlie's seeing. Does it knock it down a few? Maybe a few steps down, but it's not as glaring to me as it was to Charlie. But Charlie's a huge Kevin Nash fan, so that's coming from a huge Nash Diesel fan.
I wonder how he feels how Jax did on the classic Superstar Diesel. I thought they did a good job.
I thought they did too.
I wonder how he feels about that one.
Tweet us, Charlie. Let us know what you thought of the Jax Diesel. Charlie also sent in his top five. He says, may as well give you my top five in no particular order. Finn Balor Toys R Us Network Spotlight.
Yes.
Remember how I said that figure is starting to become my favorite Finn Balor?
Yeah. Yeah. It's starting to top a lot of people's lists over that Elite 41, which is surprising. But man, the more you look at it, I can see it.
Tyler Breeze, TNF Elite. Just love this figure for some reason. It's a good figure.
It's awesome. It's one of my favorite Mattels ever.
Even with the Polly Pocket vest and the sculpt of the molded clothing, it still looks really good.
Yeah, they nailed Tyler in that one.
Shawn Michaels, Jax Classic Superstars from the DX 2-pack in his Degeneration X In Your House attire, entrance gear, winged eagle title, and ring attire only, worn once on TV. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's right. That is an awesome Shawn Michaels figure.
Mr. Perfect Hasbro in blue singlet. It's my favorite Mr. Perfect too.
Yeah, it's so good. And in fact, when I was unbagging, I guess, because I've got all the Hasbros in a tote in a bag out in the garage, was unbagging all of the Hasbros, and Peyton was going through them with me, and she was asking me about different guys. That was one that she picked up, and I was like, that's one of Uncle Jeffrey's favorite figures. I said, that one is awesome. And I picked it up and looked at it, and it's just, it captures Mr. Perfect so well. And you had mentioned a few podcasts ago, and I chuckled, but I totally saw it when I unbagged these Hasbros. They had that Hasbro sheen to them, that yep. Shiny plastic. And here we are 20 plus years later, almost 30 years later, and those figures, as long as they've been in storage, still have that Hasbro sheen to them. And they're so good. So yes, awesome pick on that Mr. Perfect Hasbro right there.
Charlie said that his favorite Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig figure.
Yes.
He says, wish an elite Mattel could capture him this well. Then he says, Seth Rollins, Toys R Us exclusive. Easily the best Rollins figure, probably among the five best elite Mattels has done, in my opinion. Jeff, Scott, keep up the outstanding work. Hashtag FigLifeCharlie.
That's awesome. Thank you, Charlie. That is an awesome email. That's what we love getting, emails like that. It keeps us going. You know, it makes us want to continue with the show and keep up with the consistency. And we're glad you're enjoying it because we are too.
Second email came from Tim Stone. He said, Jeff Scott, hottest wrestling podcast going today. He said, sorry, Something to Wrestle With. Have you listened to Something to Wrestle With?
I have not.
I know you don't get time to listen to podcasts, but this one I think you would thoroughly enjoy. I got to give it up to Bruce Pritchard.
Oh, it's Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, yeah. It's Bruce Pritchard and his host, Conrad. I forget the guy's name. It's Conrad something. They pick one subject. They go in depth. So they've done Rick Rude in WWF. They've done WrestleMania 9. They've done WrestleMania 15. They go over detail by detail by detail of each subject that they have to talk about that week.
Okay.
And since Bruce was there, he gives a lot of background and insight to behind the scenes stuff that I think you would absolutely love.
You know, I would love to hear him talk about that Brother Love and Roddy Piper and Morton Downey Jr. segment from WrestleMania 5. I watched that again the other day, and I'm wondering how much of that between Piper and Downey was real.
They had a lot of realism to it, didn't it?
Yeah, it seemed like Piper was getting a little PO'd and Downey was getting a little PO'd. And I'm just wondering, I mean, obviously the finish of it with the fire extinguisher, that was all planned. But how much were they shooting from the hip in that one and getting digs in at each other that they were trying to get over and the other one had fire right back? I'm wondering how much of that was real. Maybe I'll have to vote on that one.
Actually, tweet it to them and say, I would like for you guys to talk about that. And if it gets enough steam, they'll put it up for the vote for the listeners to vote on.
Dude, I'm going to tweet them right after the show.
The only bad thing is it's like 2 hours.
Well, you know what's missing on that show is talk about wrestling figures. But hey, I know a podcast that does it.
I really love your podcast and thanks for all the likes, retweets on Twitter. Loving the new figure bracket. Also, I hope he likes the Elite Eight.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
So Tim sent in a couple. Actually, I'm going to say he sent in quite a few top fives. So I'm going to read Tim's top five tonight, and then we'll just kind of throw in Tim's different top fives of Mattel, Jax Classics, LJNs throughout the upcoming weeks. Tim's all-time five, Macho Defining Moment, who's a number one seed.
Yep.
Hogan NWO Jax Classic. That is one that's going on the bracket for next year.
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was an oversight. I think we should have included that one, possibly even the Classic Superstar Series 8 in his red and yellow, although the Defining Moment is a better Hogan. That one should have gotten some love. But that NWO Hogan in that Classic Superstar Series 8, I think, is only going to be rivaled by that Storm Collectibles Hogan that's going to be the ringside exclusive. Because that, so far, that Hogan Classic Superstars NWO is an amazing, amazing figure of NWO Hogan and the best one that's ever been made. Storm Collectibles, though, they're going to be in the running.
That Hogan will be on the bracket for next year.
No doubt.
I'm already marking down figures that I... my 16 figures that will be on the bracket next year.
Yeah, that I think that might have been an oversight this year. I'm happy with what we put out, but I would love to throw that one in there and see what happens.
Number three, Macho Hasbro.
Love it.
Number four, Barry Windham Galoob.
Whoa, really?
Actually, I like that Barry because he was in that lariat pose.
No, I love that Barry too. I'm just really surprised that got a vote. Wow.
And number five, Macho LJN.
Oh yeah, love that Macho LJN. But man, I'm still tripping on the Barry. I mean, I really like that Barry too, and I kind of laugh because that used to be my Hasbro Undertaker. Because until Hasbro released an Undertaker, I didn't have anybody to play the Dead Man, so it just by default became that Barry Windham Galoob. So that's cool, man. I'm glad that Galoob got a vote. I'm surprised it was over the Sting, but hey, that Barry's great.
We'll find out who is top five Galoobs of all time. Well, we know it's Barry Windham.
I'm going to guess Barry Windham.
we'll find out two through five in the upcoming weeks. Scott, it's time to play Who Did It Better. And this week I went off the cuff again. I hope you don't mind.
You better not have picked Hector Guerrero or something crazy.
This week I picked Hector Guerrero and it was something crazy.
I knew it.
No, this week... actually, I was having a tough time this week, and I had it narrowed down to two between two people. This week, I chose Dusty Rhodes.
Great, great choice. I'm a huge fan of your pick this week for the Who Did It Better.
I think everybody knows who our favorite Dusty Rhodes figure is, or what our favorite Dusty Rhodes figure is. But let's kind of break down what Dusty's have been released. Dusty's very first figure came out in the Hasbros.
Yes.
He did not have a Galoob.
Nora Remco, which to this day disappoints me that they did not have a Dusty Remco.
Well, that's because, wait, Dusty wasn't in the AWA, was he?
No, but neither was Ric Flair.
I couldn't figure that one out. I always thought that I came into wrestling too late and that Flair was up there.
No.
So how did, that's an interesting question. How did AWA get to make the rights to a Ric Flair figure?
One of these days, I would love to find an old Remco employee that actually was involved in the decision making. I would love to speak to them and see how all of the decisions with the Remcos came to be, because how do you make a Ric Flair in an AWA line? Because the Remcos, aside from that Flair, was 100% AWA.
Correct.
But as guys started to move on from the territory, like the Road Warriors, it ended up being more NWA heavy. I mean, you had Jimmy Garvin, you had... the Road Warriors, you had Ric Flair. So you definitely had an influence of guys that were from the NWA. So why couldn't they have done a Dusty Rhodes if they could do a Flair? I would argue that Dusty was the second biggest name in the NWA. I don't see why they couldn't have done him as well. So it's just, it sucks. You know, there were a lot of names that we should have gotten out of that line.
If anybody happens to know a Remco employee that worked back then on the AWA line, we would love to have them on the show.
We would love to do a whole show just about the Remcos. I could talk Remcos all day. I love, love, love the Remco line. Would love to know why we never got a Dusty or a Magnum TA. I'd like to talk about that. But yeah, unfortunately, he never did have a Galoob and he never did have a Hasbro. So yeah, his first one was, I'm sorry, never had a Galoob or a Remco. So yeah, his first figure was the Hasbro.
Staying along the lines of Remco, This is going to be a spoiler alert. Next year for my 60, because I said I was going to choose 16, you were going to choose 16, and the listeners were going to choose 32 figures. Two of my figures are the Midnight Rockers.
I say you package them in one, like one pick. Don't make it two of your 16. Yeah, package them together, dude. They weren't released as a two pack, but for the sake of saving a pick, I would package them as two. But that's a great call. Their outfits and the sunglasses, awesome, awesome Midnight Rocker set.
People are going to say, oh, that's nostalgia. Well, yeah, but at the same time, in 1980, when those come out, 86, I believe.
Yeah, 86, 87.
Those were mind-blowing to us. They had the cloth zebra shirts, the sunglasses. Those were great figures to us.
They were, and considering the technology at the time as well.
Correct. And that's one of the things about Mattel. Mattel has all this technology that Jax didn't have, that Remco's didn't have, that LJN's didn't have, that Hasbro's didn't have. Mattel has all this technology to work with, and I that's why Mattels are so good. But at the same time, you've got to be impressed with what Jax was able to do. Jax was the very first company to introduce that face scan technology.
Yeah, I remember that initial batch of real scan figures that came out, and those were just awesome. We were just blown away with what they were putting out.
Right, right. So anyways, Marty and Sean as the Midnight Rockers will be on my bracket next year, along with the Hogan NWO, but you can put that on yours.
Okay, we could share that. Yeah, we could do that.
So anyways, let's get back to Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes did not have Toy Biz.
No, he did not.
Unless there was something that we missed, I don't believe he had Toy Biz.
No, Dusty didn't have a Toy Biz for sure. Nor did he have an OSFTM.
No, he didn't, which was actually surprising.
Yeah, but he was out of the game, though, when they had that line, because I think that line debuted in about 94 or 95, somewhere in there. And he really wasn't really a featured member on television anymore. He was more of an announcer. He wouldn't be more prominently featured, I believe, until, and again, I didn't really watch WCW too much, but the best of my memory, he wasn't really featured on TV, aside from being an announcer, until he became a member of the NWO.
Correct.
Which I think about 98% of the WCW roster at some point was in the NWO.
Yeah. The Bullet Club has taken that formula right now.
Yeah, exactly. Is Joey Ryan in the Bullet Club yet?
No, not yet. Dusty then went on to have a Jax Classic.
Yes, he did.
He actually had numerous Jax Classics. He had his very first one where he had the cowboy hat, the big gold belt,
yeah,
black trunks, cowboy boots.
Yeah, it was like that classic, like 84, 85 Dusty.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't he have one where he kind of looked like in his Florida days?
Yeah, it would have been like late 70s, very, very early 80s Dusty Rhodes.
Then Dusty went on to Mattel.
Well, he also had the Adrenaline two-pack with Cody.
Oh, that's right, where he had the black shirt, the cowboy boots, the jeans.
Yes.
Very good. I forgot about that one.
And that's a good figure, too. It's, I would say out of all those that you named from Jax, probably that first Classic Superstars, in my mind, best captured Dusty. But the other two were excellent as well. Jax definitely did Dusty justice.
And then that was it for Jax, right?
I believe they also did a polka dot Dusty Rhodes as like a exclusive.
It was an exclusive. I knew they did a polka dot one, but I couldn't remember. Didn't it?
It came in a box.
It was like a, yeah. Was it a mail away or was it a?
It might have been a Toy Fair.
You're right. You're right.
I'm sure some of our listeners are going, no, it was this. But I, Toy Fair, I know, had a bunch of those exclusives, and they all came in those boxes. And I want to say that Dusty was from Toy Fair.
Then he got produced in Mattel, to which the greatest Dusty figure was ever made.
Yep. They've done other ones, but not any as good as the one that came with that ring.
Everybody knows that that's our favorite Dusty figure. The Jax Classics were good. The Adrenaline series was good. The Polka Dot Hasbro was great. But nothing beats Dusty in that ring. Words cannot describe how much Mattel nailed that Dusty figure.
Yeah, I had such a hard time putting that Christian figure over that Dusty, but you know, now that we're a week past it, I can go back and look at the Dusty and just admire the tummy splotch, the cowboy boots, the smirk on his face. Just, they totally captured Dusty. Mattel absolutely did Dusty justice. And it's one of the best figures they've ever made.
That would definitely go in my, oh, I probably top 10. Yeah, top 10 Mattels. If yeah. I had to put all my Mattels together, it'd be in my top 10.
No doubt about it. Absolutely. And I'm still kind of bent that we never got a Dusty Remco. I wish I had a Dusty Rhodes Remco figure back in the day. That was the bad part, is I was a huge Dusty Rhodes fan as a kid. You know, in the early 80s or in the mid 80s when we got into it, you know, we would watch that Saturday morning WCW show or NWA show. And man, I loved him, and he was fighting with the Road Warriors. I hated him a little bit because I love the Road Warriors so much. And then the Road Warriors went back good again, and then Dusty was cool again. And I always wished that I had a Dusty Rhodes figure, and I never got one until Hasbro, and that really sucks. I wish I had one from Remco.
So that is our favorite Dusty figure. If you had to say what was the worst Dusty figure, what would you say?
I don't know that there has been a bad Dusty figure. I can't pick a worst one. There hasn't really been a bad Dusty.
I would have to agree with you.
Now, if I had to pick one that was my least favorite, it would probably be that second Classic Superstars that captured him from his like late 70s, early 80s look. And I think that's only because I wasn't familiar with Dusty really until about 85, 86. So that look to me was kind of foreign. I'm not familiar with his work from then too much. So that would probably be my least favorite, but it's still, looking back at pictures and such that figure is based on, they nailed that figure. So there hasn't been a bad Dusty in my mind.
Yeah, that was the one that I would probably say was, if I had to throw one and they said, pick your worst Dusty, I guess I would grab that one. But as you said, they haven't done, between Jax, Mattel, Hasbro, they haven't done one bad Dusty.
No, I've enjoyed all of them. They've all been good. Just like Dusty was.
Scott, well, you can do it too if you want to. Head on over to whatamaneuver.net.
Yeah, actually, I still need to.
Yeah. Go pick up the Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. Seriously, that's the best way you can help support this show.
And it will support the show, absolutely. It gives us the means to go do more unboxing videos to share with you guys. So please, if you can't support the show, buy yourself one of those killer shirts.
Sweatshirts, hoodies, tank tops. Pick up stuff for your infant or toddler. You cannot purchase infants or toddlers, like Scott pointed out last week. So please head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. Email us any questions, comments, wishlist, fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, for episode 61, anything else?
Happy toy hunting and buy the shirt.
Yes, pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. It's beautiful. It is so beautiful.
It's so pretty.
#FigLife. Adios.